Rest in peace. And welcome to the Three Count Podcast. How'd I go then, Benny?
Yeah, good, mate. Good, good.
Good, okay.
Getting there. I was going to give you a big eye. Oh, yeah.
I'm your host, Dylan Chambers. As always, I am flanked by my special counsel, Ben Hobden. Benny, can you taste the WrestleMania in the air?
It's WrestleMania season, baby. Seen the shirt, mate.
There it is. We've got another great show for you today. Yeah, we're going to give you our thoughts on Elimination Chamber. We're going to draft our favorite chamber moments. And as always, we're going to take you through what is making waves in wrestling. And there's plenty at the moment. Make sure you follow us on the socials at 3CountPod on Twitter and Facebook, at 3CountPodcast on Instagram. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Now, Benny, We'll get to chamber, but where do we start with the news? There is plenty of it.
Will we start with the most recent exit?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, good old Cesaro leaves WWE.
Yeah, that's big. I mean, they were doing nothing with him, so
yeah, well, that's exactly get it. Right. But he did have one of the best matches last year. Like, WrestleMania match was pretty amazing.
Absolutely, and that rivalry he had with Seth Rollins was incredible.
Yeah.
He's gonna make a promoter very happy somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah. But WWE never really did anything right with him. You know, his best stuff, I guess, was his tag team stuff. He had a couple of good tag team runs, but they just never really did anything with him. Yeah. He's one of the strongest in there, and like, everybody loves him.
Yeah. If he's utilized the right way, he'll do very well.
Yeah.
So best of luck to Cesaro, though. So he has a non-compete, so he can...
Yeah, exactly. Because they didn't re-sign or anything.
Anywhere now. And someone has taken a shot at him.
Who's that?
Eddie Kingston.
I did see that.
Eddie Kingston does not like Antonio Cesaro. I think they had a run-in maybe in the past. So he's kind of called him out and just basically dared him to go there. So...
Mm.
We will see what happens there, but best of luck to Cesaro. We hope to see him very soon.
I think Eddie's got he's got enough on his plate at the moment, so I think he should just stay in his lane.
Exactly. Now we've got Taker going into the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's happened maybe a week ago or so now, but
yeah,
that's exciting. And they haven't named anyone else, so
yeah. Well, Booker T came out and said he should be the only inductee this one. They'll make a big fanfare about it. They already did with, like, at the Elimination Chamber. I think it was like a 20-minute promo video about it. Like,
yeah.
So
they ran the same one on Raw and I think SmackDown as well. So
yeah,
it's pretty big, you know, in his home state too. So
well, that's why they'd be doing it. Yeah,
no better time. But I hope they make a big song and dance about it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I hope somebody comes out and stuns him.
Yeah. So we've got AJ Styles has agreed to a new big money contract with WWE.
They're saying over $3 million for 3 years.
So. Yeah, wow. He got that, got a bit of what Cesaro was earning. But good. Good for AJ Styles.
Money as well.
I heard he was talking about retiring after this contract was up, but he re-signed. So
this day and age, they keep going. You know what I mean? Like, he still looks so good. You wouldn't
exactly.
But 3 years is a long time.
Exactly. Now, there is someone else who we may see in the ring soon. Corey Graves has confirmed that he is medically cleared to wrestle.
Yeah, so he's been keeping it, like, we've heard it for a while ago. We sort of speculated. We were hoping he was going to come out at Rumble, but he's fully confirmed himself now. So that's interesting.
And what good timing for his new YouTube show with Corey and Carmella coming out.
Yeah. So, taking on the Miz and Misses.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one. Now, speaking of YouTube, this is making big news right now. The Pat McAfee Show is on YouTube, and his next guest will be Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Now,
yes,
that was huge news. I thought this is going to be great. It's the first time Vince has done an interview in 8 years. The last time he did one was with Stone Cold.
Wow.
I was excited for this interview until I read a little bit further into the plans that WWE have.
In ring?
So apparently Vince is returning to the ring.
Mm.
There is a penciled in match between Vince and Pat McAfee at WrestleMania.
At the show of shows, the grand finale.
A 78-year-old in the ring. Why not?
Against an NFL player.
Yes, that's right. So apparently that will, you know, that little feud will lay some seeds on the Pat McAfee show this week. So it'll be an interesting one.
Interesting. I don't know where they're going to go with that one.
I actually went back and watched Adam Cole going on the Pat McAfee show and kind of starting things up there. So
that was good.
It should be pretty fun.
Yeah. He gets the best out of his guests, that's for sure. It's a good pod.
That's right. I actually watched the full Brock Lesnar interview the other day. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. It's great. Lesnar's like out of his shell, just, you know, doing Stone Cold impressions. Oh, it was very funny.
Did you see when he broke the table as well?
Yeah.
Just like, don't break anything. He just snaps the table in half out of nowhere. And like,
he's a very funny dude. Now,
this current Brock's amazing.
This current Brock is my favorite. Now, speaking of Pat McAfee and Adam Cole, Adam Cole sent a tweet Pat McAfee's way asking to come back on the show, saying he'd be a total pro. And then he said, "You won't get me on, you're a coward," and gave him the middle finger emoji.
Wow.
Interesting stuff. Now, we mentioned last week, Cody Rhodes.
Cody.
Still no sign of Cody Rhodes. You know, he was referenced by both The Miz and Edge on Raw this week. Rhodes to the Top has been confirmed. It hasn't been cancelled. Reports coming out that Cody and Tony Khan maybe had a bit of a falling out because of taking away Cody's booking power.
Mm, that'll do it.
Yeah.
The same thing happened to his dad back in the day, didn't it? So,
There you go. Now, Cody did send a social media post out. It was not a picture, but he was saying he's changed his look and he's got a bit of a Robert Downey Jr. style goatee going on. We didn't get to see it. He just spoke about it. So maybe he's changing his look for the comeback.
So what are we thinking, though? Obviously, he's not going to verse Miz because we'll get to what Miz is doing at WrestleMania. But would he go up against Edge? Like, it'd be a big match. It'd be a good angle. But
speaking of, so Edge came out on Raw and basically laid out an open challenge to WrestleMania. He referenced AJ Styles, Finn Balor and Cody subtly in his promo.
Hmm.
Could be there. Now, I have read that Lashley was ruled out, you know, in Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
But had a head injury, but apparently has had a shoulder problem for a little while. He's still trying to make a comeback for Mania.
Yeah, I was literally just reading something before we jumped on about Lashley. And he's going to try, but they're not like they don't like it. So I don't know.
So I think this Edge promo, they've kept it quite open.
So it could be anyone.
They could do anything with it.
Plug and play.
Yeah. So,
which makes sense. That's a smart move.
It does.
But I think the money fight for Edge there is AJ Styles. Like, everybody wants to see that.
I think absolutely so. I mean, and Cody too. That does come about, but we will see. Now, speaking of WrestleMania, it's going to be a very big day one of WrestleMania. NXT Standard and Deliver will be on the same day as night one of WrestleMania. It's going to be 11 a.m. at American Airlines Arena. So
that's crazy. So what time is that going to start here for us then?
11 a.m. That's going to be very early in the morning for us.
Yeah, I think I might watch that one on replay.
Yeah.
Because WrestleMania is always going to be long enough as it is. It'll probably go for 4 hours each night, I'd say.
Yeah, that's going to be like the 4 or 5 a.m. for us, I think.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. That's going to be a lot of wrestling in one day.
Do you reckon people are going to go to both? They'll buy tickets for American Airlines and then...
Oh, I think if you're there, you would.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a big weekend anyway, so...
Just overload on wrestling.
Go to everything you can. If you're there, you may as well do it. You know what I mean? Exactly. I know we would. We'd go to everything.
Absolutely. You said the other day if we won the $120 million Powerball...
We were there, mate. We were there.
We did not, unfortunately.
VIP to access everything, whatever. But no, we're still here, folks. We're still here with you guys and we'll report everything we can.
That we will. Speaking of reporting, there was a report from Give Me Sport that came out that before Ronda Rousey decided to return, WWE were looking at a four horsewoman fatal four-way for both titles at Mania.
Ooh, would have been a great match.
That would have been a cracker.
Yeah. But like you said, I think you said in a text message, Charlotte said there's plenty of time for that when you interviewed us. So
that's right. Yeah, I kind of said, well, that's what we all want, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to get to. You don't have to work to it. So we can do it whenever.
It's just as long as they all stay contracted and that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? So
that's right. That's and, right. I mean, I don't see any of them leaving anytime soon. So
nah.
Maybe it's SoFi. SoFi next year. We'll find out. Johnny Knoxville. He's returned to throw a challenge out to Sami Zayn for the IC title on SmackDown. Obviously, Zayn took him out. And Ricochet is going to take Zayn on for the title next week.
Next week.
This is leading up to Johnny Knoxville for the IC belt at WrestleMania, right?
They're going to put the title on him, aren't they?
They can't. They can't, no, surely.
Hey, stranger people have won the title, mate.
That is true. Actually,
you know, although the person I'm referring to, Mr. Arquette, he did go on to actually have some proper matches. But Johnny, I don't know. I don't think he can get it.
Yeah. Well, he can take a lot of punishment. We know that. He can absolutely take a lot of punishment.
Yeah, true, true.
So we will see. He took a hell of a haluva kick. He took one. It didn't look that great. And he took the second one. It looked like he knocked his head clean off. It was interesting. Now, speaking of unexpected things that happen on SmackDown, we were talking before offline about this, what are they doing with the women's tag division?
Yeah.
So apparently, just out of nowhere, Naomi and Sasha are a tag team and they're gunning for those tag team titles.
Yeah. Like, well, I literally, because I haven't had a chance to watch SmackDown yet because I worked all weekend and I was reading up the results and stuff. And that literally what it said here, it's in front of me right now. Naomi and Sasha have joined forces to take on the tag team division. I'm like, what?
Like, let's just put them all in as random tag teams.
Yeah. Like, but considering Naomi was just with Ronda, I know that's not going to be anything, but like, how do they just jump it around that quickly?
Very odd.
And Sasha's just out of the title like contention all of a sudden as well. Like,
yeah. I mean, you'd think that's a way to get them all on Mania, right? And get the tag titles on Mania.
Yeah. And then they'll probably pick up four other women and just put them in and it'll be a fatal four-way tag match or something like that just to get everybody on. And then it'll be cut for time.
I reckon they should have had like a battle royal where the last two remnants are the tag champions.
Yeah. Or they fight for the titles or whatever. Yeah. But you know what had happened with that though. They'd be bitter rivals.
Yeah.
And then the dynamic between that would have to happen and stuff like that which would probably be better. That'd be better.
That makes it a bit better. So
yeah.
Last bit of WWE news I've got is Spanish announcer Carlos Cabrera let go after 30 years.
Yeah. When I first read it, I thought it was going to say he passed away, but it's probably worse getting let go.
He's been around for a long time.
The old Spanish announce tables, that was part of our youth, watching the wrestlers go through those in the Attitude Era.
Carlos Cabrera and Hugo Savinovich, and now both of them are no longer there.
No longer there.
All right, let's move on, Benny. Plenty going on in AEW. Now, Jeff Hardy's revealed that he has signed an AEW contract.
Mm.
AEW has not released anything.
Yeah.
This was in a backstage interview at a concert, I believe, with Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, well, I text you. I said, we haven't seen anything yet. Like, and you said, no, apparently he said it. So it's all speculating. Of course, we think it's going to happen, but until it does.
Well, he's released it now. So we see, speaking of AEW contracts, they've renewed Brian Cage's contract, which is a good signing for them. But moving on, there's plenty to happen on Dynamite and Rampage this week. We had Red Dragon winning a tag team battle royal, so they'll advance to Revolution. MJF's promo.
Oh, tear in his eye.
Let's talk about MJF cut this babyface promo about how, you know, Punk left him high and dry when he needed him the most. He was picked on at school, had a tear running down his eye. Punk came out and just basically said, is that all true? Said, yeah, and then walked off. Brilliant stuff. From MJF.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. The way I thought about it, I was like, okay, at worst, the story's true and it gives MJF a little bit more depth, right?
Yeah.
At best, it's all a hoax. He's got us all and we hate him even more.
Yeah, 100%. Like, but either way they want to go, they can go with either way of it. Even if it is true, they can still go down the whole that's fake line.
Yeah.
And then just ruin us anyway, you know what I mean? So I think it was, yeah, it was absolutely brilliant.
I'm so heelish to see where it goes.
Because you don't want him to have a babyface turn.
No.
Like, he's too good as a heel. So, like, it has to go that way. But yeah, it's brilliant anyway.
Really, really good stuff from MJ.
But I was sitting there just watching it, just going, oh, my gosh, what is going on? Like, this is crazy. And, like, even Punk's face was just like, wow. So,
yeah, and the, look and the forward real to that tear one. Going down his eye.
It was brilliant.
So well done. Speaking of great promos, we had Jericho and Eddie Kingston drawing off, throwing plenty of jabs at WWE.
Yeah, good old, what did he say? Your best mate, Levesque. Talking about Triple H. Yeah.
Dropping Triple H's name right in the promo there. So that was very good. So they're gonna face off at Revolution.
Eddie doesn't hold back.
No, doesn't hold back at all. We had the Death Triangle. They beat the Knights of the Black Throne. Malachi Black, you know, kind of got the upper hand. He was about to hit Penta with a shovel. Lights went out. And who do we see?
Buddy
Matthews.
Get it right. That's it.
Buddy Matthews, a.k.a. Buddy Murphy, appears out of nowhere, thinking he's going to turn on Malachi Black, but doesn't, joins the Knights of the Black Throne.
Yeah.
And look, Buddy's looking jacked.
He was huge. He looked really good.
Yeah. So be good to see Buddy. I know everyone's looking forward to that. We had Ricky Starks and Orange Cassidy. They've won their way to the Face of the Revolution ladder match. That will be a fun one.
Can't wait.
Jade Cargill issued an open challenge for the TBS title, which was answered by Ty Conti.
Mm.
So we got
another match. That'll be a good match, considering she's just come off a women's title, like, loss to Britt. But, I mean, she still put up a great show.
That was a cracker of a match, too.
Yeah.
Then we had Bryan Danielson had a great match with Daniel Garcia, then basically said, look, Mox, if I need to bleed with you, then I'll do it. Let's face up at Revolution. So we've got Danielson Moxley.
This card just keeps getting better and better and better.
It does.
I know we'll probably talk about that later in this week, but yeah, that's massive card.
We will break it down during the week, but this is how it looks so far. I've got Adam Cole versus Hangman Page, Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker for the title, Cargill Conti for the title, Jurassic Express, Red Dragon, and a team to be named. The Face of the Revolution ladder match has Keith Lee, Wardlow, Hobbs, Starks, Cassidy, with one more to join. MJF and Punk in a dog collar match. Whew. Eddie Kingston, Jericho, Danielson, and Moxley. It is huge.
Huge card. Because this is the only thing between now and WrestleMania as well. So, like, it's a big card. This is like their WrestleMania, you got to think.
They've picked the perfect time for it, because it's kind of that six-week. Things are ramping up to WrestleMania, but there's not really any pay-per-views or anything big going on. So perfect timing.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
So there's a few other things going on in the world of wrestling. We've got CM Punk's been announced in the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame.
Big class, that one.
Oh, yeah. Samoa Joe, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, the Briscoes. Really good stuff from Ring of Honor. We have the Good Brothers. Now, it looks like they've returned to the Bullet Club at Impact's No Surrender pay-per-view. And they kicked out the Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tangaloa.
Yeah.
The Bullet Club leader, Jay White, helped them keep their Impact Tag Team champions and seemingly kicked out one of the OGs, Tama Tonga, from the Bullet Club.
It'll be interesting to see what goes on with that. Like, will he stay there or what's going to happen?
All this crossing over with New Japan and
Impact, it's hard to keep up with.
It is hard to keep up with where people are, but I like it. I like it. Yeah. It means talent's really getting out there.
Yeah.
Speaking of talent getting out there, EC3 and Adam Scheer, a.k.a. Braun Strowman, are launching their own promotion. Now, we've seen a little bit of that Control Your Narrative stuff. Apparently, there's a TV deal in the works, two live events, including one in Dallas right before Mania. We've got Matt Cardona, Moose, Matt Sydal, Marina Shafer, plenty of names.
Austin Aries as well.
Austin Aries, that's a big one. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what they do. You know, I feel like there's a lot of promotions popping up now, which are, you know, getting a bit of airtime.
Does Bray turn up?
He's got to show up somewhere one of these days.
I'll keep talking it.
Surely. We had X-Pac make his in-ring return at GCW Heartbreak in a tag match with Joey Janela against Matt Cardona and Brian Myers. Good to see X-Pac back out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't say good, but yeah okay.
It's something.
It's something.
It's
2022, Dylan.
That's right.
Come on.
That's got to stop living in the past. Joey Janela turned on him after the match while he was giving his thanks to the crowd. So I'm sure we'll see more of X-Pac. And lastly, Moose is going to defend his Impact title against Speedball Mike Bailey at an indie show called Pro Wrestling Revolver. So
we're still waiting for Moose to rock up in the Royal Rumble, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Maybe one of these days. So plenty to get through. There was a lot going on in wrestling this week.
Yeah.
Are you ready to break down this Elimination Chamber card, Benny?
Break it down.
Let's break it down. Rey Mysterio and The Miz. Classic stuff from The Miz during this match. Grabbed a chair. Then when Dominic grabbed it off him, feigned being hit. Dominic ejected from ringside. Miz tried to capitalize and hit Rey with a skull-crushing finale, but Mysterio rolled him up for the win. Then we ended up getting Dominic coming back, a double 619 and double frog splashes on The Miz.
Yeah. Miz was great, like doing his heelish behavior. So it was an all right match, but it just sort of did nothing for me, to be honest.
Well, I didn't mind it. I gave it a 1.5 count. I thought it was actually quite entertaining. I was surprised because I wasn't looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And obviously it was a pre-show match, but it kind of surprised me with how much I enjoyed it. I'm not saying it's a match of the year candidate, but...
No. I gave it a 1 count, but I don't know. I'm just, I'm still waiting for my my heel turn. It still hasn't happened, and I'm going to stay on this ride, okay? I'm not getting off this
what
ride.
What if they swerve you and we get a Rey Mysterio heel turn?
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
When was the last time Rey was heel?
I haven't even thought about that.
When was the last time Rey was heel?
I think the only way they could do that is if they sort of give Dominic a bit of a push. Say he won the US title or the Intercontinental title or something like that, and then Rey got jealous.
Yeah.
Imagine that. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be fun.
All right, now I'm just all right.
One of them has to turn you.
No, either one. I don't care.
As for what's next, these guys are all gonna battle at WrestleMania, and The Miz unveiled his tag team partner, Logan Paul.
Yeah, international superstar, mate.
Yeah.
Logan Paul, come on.
If you want eyes on the product, throw a Paul brother in there.
Hey, it works.
It does work.
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to be much of a match, really.
No.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what they
box,
do
I guess.
With Logan. So, I mean.
Anybody that comes in now that's a famous person, though, we only compare them to Bad Bunny now, don't we?
Yeah, it's a tough comparison too because he did so well.
He did really well.
Maybe if I was going in as a celebrity, I'd be like, look at me more as a Drew Carey type of celebrity rather than a Bad Bunny.
I've got the size. I've got the body build for it, so I'll be good.
All right, moving on. We had kicked it off with the Universal Championship match, Roman Reigns and Goldberg. Two spears from Goldberg, two counters of the jackhammer by Reigns. The second into a guillotine to end the match. What'd you think, Benny?
Mate, by the way you were saying that, I didn't like your face. I don't think you're going to like my thing here. I gave it a 2 count. I enjoyed it. I could see when you were reeling it off that you weren't enjoying it.
Look, I gave it a 1/2 count.
Oh, Dylan.
The old Goldberg, not the older Goldberg, but the old Goldberg from back in the day. Yeah. Loved him.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have it anymore. The nostalgia's worn off on me.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm just done. I'm done with Goldberg.
Yeah. I just loved that it went from 0 to 100 and it just stayed at 100 for like that 4 minutes or whatever it was. You know what I mean? Like they didn't try and stretch it out or anything like that. It was just come in and just go hell to leather, couple of spears, go for the jackhammer, and then it was over. So that was kind of the good part, I think.
So Goldberg's been back for 5 years and he's wrestled under an hour total.
Yeah, right. So Mysterio lasted in a Rumble longer than what he has for 5 years in a match. Yeah, makes sense.
I mean, and here's my other thing. Can you think of any other moves Goldberg's done other than a punch, a spear, and a jackhammer?
He does that knee, like the side knee in the corner every now and then. That's about it. But that's it. Yeah.
There's not much to him these days. And
he does more damage to the smoke from his pyro than what he does to other people. So, I mean,
totally fair.
The finish was surprising, though, choking him out. Like, I didn't know how they were going to finish it, but I guess that was a good way.
Yeah.
goes for the jackhammer, and then Reigns just turns it into a guillotine. And he didn't tap, though. So, I mean, that's where he could come out and say, you know, I didn't tap out.
Yeah, but it's a way of keeping him tough.
I think you said it was his last fight on his contract, wasn't it? So
it was. It was his last match on his contract. So whether he re-signs with WWE or not, we don't know. But I think that will probably be the last time we see him for quite some time.
Until next year when they go to Saudi Arabia.
Until a Saudi prince wants to see him wrestle again, yeah. but as for Reigns, obviously going on to Mania to take on Lesnar. So exciting stuff. We then went on to the Women's Elimination Chamber match. For a shot at the Raw Women's title at WrestleMania. We had Ripley eliminated Nikki. A very whoops, I did it again, looking Liv Morgan in that red bodysuit. Eliminated Doudrop. There was a fun moment there where Ripley and Belair tried to outdo each other with stereo back body drops. So you got Alexa Bliss back in there. She delivered a Twisted Bliss to Morgan to eliminate her. Belair eliminated Ripley after a KOD, and then we were down to Bianca and Alexa. But Alexa just looks so tiny compared to Bianca.
So tiny.
So
we've seen what Belair's done to Doudrop, and then, like, you can't expect her to, like, not beat Bliss, you know what I mean?
So a kiss of death to the Bliss has Belair heading to Mania. I gave it a 1.5 count. You know, I thought it was predictable.
Yeah.
I was hoping it was going to go a different way. I didn't pick it, but it was predictable and it was fun. I think it did its job, but I don't think it was memorable. So I gave it a 1.5.
Yeah, I literally wrote here pretty predictable. I gave it a 1.5 count as well. I did say on the pre-show that I thought Bliss would have to be around at the end. I thought that it would have swapped it around, though. I thought she would have been third last out, you know what I mean? And then it would have come down Ripley and yeah, but, you know, they do what they do because it's a big comeback match and whatever else. So, but Belair was always going to win, I thought, from the beginning. Yeah, so,
I think so.
I just think as well, like that Liv Morgan sunset flip powerbomb, though, on Doudrop was pretty solid.
That was cool.
Yeah. And it was just a really short match as well, though.
It was. For a chamber match, they pumped it out really quick.
And the men's was as well, which we'll get to. Yeah. But,
So we now have Belair going on to face Becky for the Raw Women's title at Mania. What do the rest of these women do?
Maybe they can go and fight in that Fatal 4-Way for the tag titles. Or...
Yeah, they got to do something. We saw Ripley beat Nikki on Raw, which...
Hopefully that's it.
That's got to be done, right?
Has to.
And
like we've had that for too long now.
And then we saw Doudrop take another pin to Bianca Belair, just beat She's her up him. Before Mania.
She's just eating pins at the moment, considering she fought for the title on day one. So,
so it'll be interesting to see what they do with the rest of them. You know, Alexa Bliss has got to have something at Mania, surely, right? I mean, they've pumped her up enough.
They're not pushing her. Yeah, they're pumping her up. That's probably better wording.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Belair's obviously going to fight Becky to avenge that 28-second loss at SummerSlam.
Yeah. So wonder which way that'll go.
24 seconds.
Moving on, speaking of the women, we moved on to a tag team match, Ronda Rousey and Naomi against Charlotte Flair and Sonya Deville. You look like you really enjoyed this one. Rousey had her hand tied, I wouldn't say behind her back, more like at her side. Turns out Sonya Deville didn't need a sling. Looked like Flair and Sonya had the advantage, but it basically ended when Rousey was setting Deville up for the armbar, telling Flair to come in and make the save. But Charlotte waved her off and Ronda made Deville tap.
Yeah. I gave it 3.5 count. -3. mate, that was terrible. It was so clunky. It was just like, I know Rousey's just come back and stuff like that. But I just didn't feel comfortable watching it at all.
Well,
it was just weird.
You'd be surprised. I actually gave it a 1.5 count. I thought it was a decent showing. Look, I think what really sold it for me was the ending. Like, I thought it made Rousey look strong, made Flair look like a great heel. Real
chicken shit.
Real chicken shit stuff from Charlotte.
That's fair.
So I enjoyed that part of it. I agree. It wasn't a classic, but.
Like, there was a stage there where Rousey was trying to tag Naomi in, and it looked like Charlotte missed the stop. But then Rousey stopped herself short so that Charlotte could grab the rope and pull her back. And the whole rope pulling back thing was like, would have been good if they did it right the first time.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by when I say it was clunky. It just felt like it was just off, like a bit off pace.
Yeah.
I just don't think they needed that whole arm tied behind the back thing. Like, they should have just had the match.
I agree. They didn't need it at all.
If they didn't have that, that's probably what's taken away from it. Maybe I would have given it that one count.
Yeah.
But I took half a count off just because of the difficulty of watching it.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So we'll now get Flair and Rousey at Mania, which is confirmed will be night one. Do we get a Deville Naomi? Well, actually, we won't get a Deville Naomi match at Mania now. I thought we might in the pre-show, but
Does
Deville have a tag team partner? Maybe she could.
Well, her and Liv were pretty close, weren't they?
Yeah.
So, maybe. Well, they are all over social media. They're pretty close. So
we will see. We then move on to the Falls Count Anywhere match. Drew McIntyre and Madcap Moss. Was more like a handicap match. McIntyre was able to overcome the odds. Very nasty looking moment where Madcap was just like dumped right on the top of his head.
Folded like an accordion. Like, how did he get up? How did he continue to fight for 5 more minutes?
They showed like replay after replay on SmackDown too. It was crazy. Shook it off, continued, took a superplex and a future shock DDT. Corbin then hit the ring. McIntyre swung the sword at him to get him out of the ring. Then hit a claymore on Madcap while holding the sword to get the 3 count. Now, Benny, here's my question for you. Is Drew McIntyre allowed to murder people?
It was only attempted. He didn't kill him. Attempted murder is different. You get less time. But, I mean, folks, if you haven't seen this, go and watch it, because when Dylan says he swung it at him, we've seen him swing the sword before. But this time was legitimately in the middle of the ring, a full swing, and Baron just, like, got out of the way. Like, it was dangerous.
I just don't get it. Like, so Triple H had the sledgehammer, right?
Mm.
Yeah, and you could legit kill someone with a sledgehammer.
Of course you could, yeah.
I will give it that. But you can also have it as a wrestling, you know, weapon where you put your hand on the front of it and you knock people out.
Soften the blow a bit, yeah.
A sword, you can't really do that unless you hit him with, the hilt of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I remember hearing an interview one time that Kevin Nash was talking about when they first came in as the Outsiders. They had the metal baseball bats. But what they did is they got another one made up so that it wasn't actually a metal bat. So the first one walked out, Scott Hall hits the ring steps with the bat, so like the actual bat. But then the one they hit everyone with wasn't a real bat.
Like a rubber bat or something.
Something like that. But I mean, that sword, if you can't make a sword rubber either, because it'll just bend.
In saying that, apart from the attempted murder. Great match. Like,
great match.
Madcap looks great, right?
Yeah, he does. He looks really good. I think he'll get a bit of a push after that.
Surely, you know, if his neck's not broken. But yeah, Madcap looked great. I gave it a 1.5. I actually really enjoyed it when I thought I wasn't going to.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. 1.5 count for me. Like, as you said, it was more of a handicap match. But again, I'm going to use the word chicken shit, heel. Corbin kept running away every time, you know, Drew looked like he was going to get on top of him. So,
yeah.
And then just come in for the cheap shots and stuff like that. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I think Madcap's skills, very impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. He's looking really
good. He looks strong too. Like,
yeah.
Like,
so it's looking like we'll get Corbin and McIntyre at Mania. I mean, they were supposed to have a match on SmackDown and Corbin volunteered Madcap to go in and take the match again. For him again. So
yeah,
I think that's probably where we're heading with that one.
But it'll be a pre-show match, you'd think, like with everything else going on WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Or do they even have do they have pre-show for Mania?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So just in case it wasn't long enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. The Raw Women's Championship match, Becky Lynch and Lita. There was a point in this match where I actually thought they might give the belt to Lita. She had a twist of fate and a moonsault, nailed them both. Becky kicked out, then hit the manhandle slam for the win. I gave it a 1 count. I wasn't impressed.
I'm with you. I gave it a 1 count. Actually, I think I gave it a 1/2 count. I might have rounded up here 1 count. Becky carried it.
Yeah,
Lita had those spots.
Lita just doesn't have it anymore. I mean,
nah, this is where, like what you said before with the Goldberg thing, the nostalgia thing just didn't work for me with Lita at all. Like, she didn't look good in any of her tag matches she's had in the past. She didn't look good in the Rumble.
Looked really clunky.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't good. But it was just too many telegraph spots. Like, I'm probably nitpicking, but there was just a few different things. Like, Becky was clearly putting herself in positions for Lita to do it. And I know we should just enjoy it and whatever else, but for me, it just sort of, I couldn't get past it. Like, yeah. She was trying to put a chokehold on her and she had it on her forehead. I'm like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? And then, yeah, Becky she was always going to win.
I just couldn't get into it. You know, I'd say, yeah, as for what's next, obviously Becky goes on to Mania for Belair. I think Lita's probably done, at least until next year's Rumble when they need women.
Hang on, we're talking about women's tag team matches. Why don't she get her old mate Trish and maybe they can fight for the tag titles?
Do you know what? I'd probably go for that.
Yeah.
I think.
Why not?
I think tag match, you're not as, you know, it's not as laid bare if you don't have it anymore. And I'm sure if they had something with Naomi and Sasha, then they could definitely carry the match.
Oh, definitely those two could, yeah. I don't know how Zelina and Mella would go at carrying the match.
Yeah, yeah, probably not so much. But hey, yeah. I'd pop for it. I'd pop for it on Mania if they, you know, Trish and Lita came out and tagged. I don't think it'd be that impressive, but I'd
watch it. I don't know if I'd pop for it.
I'd pop for the entrances. Now, speaking of tag team matches, which maybe haven't happened and didn't happen, SmackDown Tag Team Championship, the Usos and the Viking Raiders. Raiders making their way to the ring. Usos jumped them with super kicks. Suplexed Ivar onto Eric, and the referees called the match off.
So, for me, why didn't they just do it backstage?
I don't know. Why
did you do the big entrance and all that kind of stuff? I guess, you know, if they've flown all the way over there, you may as well let them have their entrance, put their makeup on, let them wear their outfit just so they can come out.
My, they had to be short on time or something, right? Like, I just don't understand it.
So, funnily enough, I've read that they were. That was always the plan. And now that we've watched SmackDown as well, it appears that they're just going to stretch it out because the Viking Raiders jumped the Usos and then the match was meant to happen this week, didn't.
And then we'll see next week.
Hopefully. So who's going to jump who next week?
I mean,
if this goes on for five more weeks till Mania, I'm going to lose my shit.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the Raiders. They've got some good moves and hopefully they do get a proper shot, but I don't think Raiders and Usos is a WrestleMania worthy match.
No, well, the New Day, although we're not allowed to call them that, apparently. We've got to call them Big E and...
Big E and Kofi.
Kofi, yeah. So they're not being called the New Day.
They still come out to the New Day music, though.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird. They had a win over the Los Lotharios on SmackDown as well.
That's a WrestleMania-worthy match.
Yeah.
Big E and Kofi against the Usos.
We talked about this 6 months ago or before SummerSlam. We were saying they need to have a break.
Yeah.
And then come back and fight each other at Mania. Which is good, though, because we've forgotten about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We all know how many good matches they've had over the years. So we'll have it at WrestleMania and it'll be better again.
Absolutely. You know, maybe they could even lead into Big E and Kofi having shots at Roman or whoever happens to be champion at that time. interesting. So there's plenty of ways they can go. Sorry, Viking Raiders. We then moved on to the main event. We had the WWE Championship Elimination Chamber match. The match pretty much started with Rollins powerbombing Austin Theory through Lashley's pod, which took Lashley out, as we spoke about. Now, everyone kind of got out. Lesnar and Lashley's pods were the last to open when the fifth countdown ended. It was for Lashley's pod, and Lesnar got Jack awaiting, just kicked through the side of his own pod. F5s to Rollins, Riddle, and Styles. They were all eliminated, leaving only Lesnar and Austin Theory. Now, a low blow and a DDT from Theory led to him attempting to climb the top of the cage to escape, which looks pretty cool. But Lesnar, he climbed the cage like a beast.
Beast.
Like a beast.
Yeah.
Pulled him back inside, bounced his head off the plexiglass, and then F5'd him off the top of one of the pods. Covered him for the win.
Crazy.
Gets the win. Brock Lesnar, new WWE champion. Reports were that him breaking the door of the pod wasn't scripted.
No, he just went off script and just went, hell no, I'm not waiting any longer.
But apparently he didn't know they were short on time.
Oh, right.
So who's to say what happened? So
what did
you rate it?
I gave it 1.5 count.
As did I. I thought it was a predictable ending, but there were some fun spots in there. If they'd given the other Riddle, Styles, and Rollins more time,
exactly,
I think it could have bumped that rating up.
But now hearing that they were short of time, that makes more sense then. Because it did almost feel like a squash match once Brock came in. Like he just came in and just dominated everyone. And Theory got the most time out of everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So, although one thing I don't get is when they say short on time, but it's a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe because it was over there or...
Yeah.
But because it didn't even go for 3 hours.
No.
So that was what was weird.
They pumped through it, that's for sure.
I thought it was it was still fun to watch.
It was,
you know, and like the little thing with Theory, like, you know, oh, are they going to give him a chance? Is this actually going to happen? But he was never going to beat Brock. And then he goes and tries to hide in the pod. And he's like, what are you hiding in there for? Like, Brock just kicked his own way out of one. How are you going to hide? And then that F5 off the top of the pod was pretty impressive as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. So we'll now see Lesnar at Reigns at Mania. Seth and KO are going to be facing RK-Bro and Alpha Academy in a few weeks for the Raw tag titles, which should be interesting, though.
Yeah.
As we've spoken about, there's reports that KO might be facing the Texas Rattlesnake at WrestleMania. As we mentioned, Lashley's out, but he's trying to come back. So there's a lot of ways we can go with a lot of these guys.
And then AJ, obviously, pretty open, but he hopefully Edge.
Yeah.
And then Theory, where's Theory go?
Interesting. Well, if Vince is back, maybe he's got someone in his corner.
Oh, well, maybe Theory fights McAfee.
There you go. The old, Lashley representing Trump
style. Oh, what about the two commentators? So that's Graves has come back.
There you go.
McAfee and Graves versus...
I don't think they like each other, though.
Perfect.
There you go.
Maybe Vince will have... I'm just going too many ways.
Fantasy booking now. Fantasy book. So there we go. That is our wrap up of Elimination Chamber. Underwhelming.
You knew I was going to say. I swear you knew I was going to say that. Exactly the word I was going to use. Underwhelming. Still okay to watch. Like I didn't hate it.
It was enjoyable. I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I would. But in saying that, every match, the favorite one.
Predictability sort of ruined it a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. Moving on, Benny, let's get into the draft. The three count draft. This week we're gonna look back and draft our three favorite chamber moments from there's been 30 chamber matches now.
Crazy.
Seems crazy. So we're gonna go back in time, look at some of our best moments. Benny, you get to draft first.
Do I?
You do.
Beautiful.
What
all right.
will you be going with?
All right, my first pick, it's not really my favorite moment, but it's just a moment that stands out for me. And that was in 2010 when Taker came out before the Elimination Chamber got burnt from his pyro.
Probably not his favorite moment.
No, not at all. But then he was in the pod and he came out last, I think, in that one. And he was just in the pod, just getting bottles of water handed to him. And he was like trying to put out the second and third degree burns. And like, it wasn't pretty.
Absolutely crazy.
His like suit was like stuck to his skin and stuff like that. And, like,
he had that jacket, which was just
the
like
big the... black jacket. Yeah. It was all burnt all on his chest and down his arm and stuff like that. He just took a hat off and just started pouring water all over himself. And
I did have that on my list, Benny. That is a good pick. Yeah. The Undertaker catches fire, 2010.
Is that what you wrote?
Yeah. Undertaker catches on fire, 2010. Well, that leaves me with an obvious one for my first pick.
Oh, here we go.
And maybe a little bit of a Homer pick. Shawn Michaels returning and winning the first ever chamber match, Survivor Series 2002.
How did I know? No, it's a good pick, though. That was a great pick.
Wearing possibly the ugliest trunks he's ever worn.
Which Dylan has two pairs of.
Yeah. I don't know why he thought
he's wearing them right now.
But unless he had the runs, maybe. I don't know.
I was going to say, maybe he was shitting himself before the match. So.
So there we go. That's my first pick. Shawn Michaels returning 2002.
Yeah, nice pick. All right, my next one. 2011, the Prince of Parkour, John Morrison, when he climbed that cage, looked like Spider-Man, looked like a... What was it? Spider-Man versus Bonesaw in the Tobey Maguire movie.
Ooh, yeah.
And then he just does like that twisting move off the top of the cage, lands on top of Sheamus to eliminate him. It was just crazy. And then I think, who was it? Was it Lindsay Dorado or one of the Lucha House Party guys sort of copied it not too many years later or
Sin Cara, years ago. But was it? Yeah.
Sin Cara, yeah. I think it might have been Sin Cara, but nowhere near as good as Morrison did it. Like,
so cool. He just climbed all the crazy way up to the kind of
all
peak.
All the way
of
up
it.
And then like to the right in the middle and just like
dropped on Sheamus and got the pin.
Yeah, brilliant
good
move.
Good pick. I'm going back to 2003 for my second pick. Now, I ripped him a new one earlier in the pod, but Goldberg spearing Jericho through one of the pods at SummerSlam 2003.
I remember that, yeah.
Goldberg had just come back. He was strong as ever. He delivered this spear of Jericho through the pod, just cracked the plexiglass wide open.
I feel like I can hear it now. When you said that, I could hear the crack. Like, that was crazy. I remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, love the old Goldberg. Not the old Goldberg.
Just to clarify.
Just to clarify.
No, that's a great pick, actually. All right, my third and last pick is, okay, I'm going to be like you and take a bit of a Homer pick for my third one.
I think I know it.
Let me in. Bray Wyatt, 2017, winning the title.
Bray Wyatt winning 2017, which was, that's a good pick. He wasn't expected to win.
No.
He was kind of probably fourth favorite, I guess, down the list.
Yeah, and he pinned Cena in one. Like, he pinned Cena second last. Cena was the champion at the time and didn't even be in the last two, I think. So
yeah,
that was pretty cool. And, yeah, Bray winning the title.
Okay, good pick. Rounding out your top three. Now, there was so many. I'm stuck with this third one, but I'm going to go the beginning of Kofi Mania. Not nice. Too long ago, Elimination Chamber 2019. Now, just the reception he received, he was in there for the last 5 minutes or so with now Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan at the time, and just the crowd reaction to, you know, him possibly winning it. Obviously, yeah. Daniel Bryan ended up winning it, but just the reaction he got led to this big push that had him winning
just
the title.
Just snowballed on, didn't it? Like, just went from there. And he wasn't even meant to be in that, was he, either?
No, so he took Ali's place.
Yeah.
He's Ali gets replaced in a lot of things, doesn't he?
Poor fella.
Poor Ali. Yes, replaced Ali in that. So Elimination Chamber 2019. So, Benny, we've got Undertaker catching fire in 2010, Morrison climbing the chamber like Spider-Man 2011, Bray Wyatt winning 2017. I've got Shawn Michaels winning the first ever chamber match 2002, Goldberg spearing Jericho in 2003, and Kofamania 2019. Did you have any honorable mentions, Benny?
Just trying to think. I've just deleted half my notes, but I can't think. I'm trying to think what else I had. What else did you have?
I had not a great moment for one of your favorites, but RVD's 5-star frog splash off the pod onto Triple H's
throat. H, yeah, that's right.
Just ruining his trachea. I had Shawn Michaels costing The Undertaker the title and Jericho giving Jericho the title in 2010, coming up from under the chamber.
Yeah. It was 2009 when Edge had two matches, essentially. Yeah.
No way out, title. 2009.
Yeah. Oh, have you got it there as well?
I do. That was grand. Only person to ever do two chamber matches in one night.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. The other one I had was actually from that same night, which was Cena getting a code breaker, a 619, and then a spear to be eliminated.
Yeah, nice. The other one was when Shawn Michaels came out and Sweet Chin Music, The Dead Man. I can't remember what year that was.
That was 2010. That was when he was
hurt. Oh, that was the same year, was it?
Yeah, that was the same year when he was there. The other funny one I had was Santino almost winning.
Santino, I don't remember that one.
So it was he was in the last two with Daniel Bryan, I think it was, and he was getting some momentum. You know, brought out the snake and
hit him with it. He used to do that. That was hilarious.
But the crowd was just going crazy. But got the kick out and didn't win it in the end. So there you go. That is our Elimination Chamber best moments draft. And that is it for the pod this week. Thanks for joining us on our recap. We'll be back next week. We're going to preview the awesome
Revolution.
Revolution. We'll post our draft to the socials. You know, check it out. Let us know what your favorite Chamber moments is. So, Benny, once again, thank you for your time.
Pleasure, Dylan, as always, mate.
And we'll see you again next week to break down Revolution on the Three Count Podcast.